an assortment of minhagim relating to Rosh Hashanah. Some things that we learned before, but a few new insights into some of the things that we've touched upon in the past. The first thing we want to discuss is what we do during Hataras Nedarim. We do Hataras Nedarim, we mevakesh Hatara from Nidui, from Shamta, all of these very interesting, strange terms. And one of them is called Nazifa. Now what is Nazifa? I really don't know what Nazifa is, but it appears that in ancient times, and I don't say ancient meaning 2,000 years ago, but years ago, the process of Hataras Nedarim was a much more elaborate process. Now, we don't do this today. So what I'm telling you over here are things which interesting things to gain a deeper appreciation to customs that were done in the past. And that was, there used to be something called Kabbalas Nidui. Give me 1 second to find the page in the Sefer. Page Resh Yud. Okay, I'm telling you comments from this Sefer called Oitzer Machmadim. I've gone through most of the Sefer with you. Before we started Rosh Hashanah, when we first started Minhagim, most of the things I've told you come from this Sefer, Oitzer Machmadim. I saved these things. I did not discuss the section that deals with Rosh Hashanah because it was not the time of the year of Rosh Hashanah, but now that it is. So I want to mention this idea called Kabbalas Nazifa. It used to be that during previous generations, after or part of the process of the Mater Neder, is you would accept upon yourself a nazifa. Nazifa is a word for a curse. And let me read you the exact words. Person, this is part of the nusach of Hataras Nedarim. A person would say, "Imavarti al shum davash nisayafti nazifa oy oror." If if I've committed a crime, I've committed an avera for which I am deserving of a curse or a nazifa, not exactly sure the difference between a nazifa and an oror. Harein is the person would declare, here I am, shav b'shuva shlem, I want to do a complete shuva. And the eshev yachaf ala aretz kiminuda, I will sit, I accept upon myself to sit on the ground barefoot like a cursed person. The espalish b'ofar b'icha, I will roll myself in the dust in a state of tears, mischoret u'misvadeh, in a state of regret and confession. The eshal mimalaskam, I beg you, the Bezdin, to release me from this nizifa, mimalaskam shetatiruni mikol hanizifas. In other words, very careful to understand what's going on here. You don't just go to the Bezdin like we do today and ask, "Oh Bezdin, please, three dayanim, please release me from a nazifa." So in order to be chayiv nazifa, it means you must accept upon yourself a nazifa, or the Bezdin must issue a nazifa. No one today, it's unheard of today, you never hear that a court of law will go and say, this person has committed a crime. He doesn't want to give a get to his wife, and we declare him guilty. Therefore, we now declare upon him nazifa. We now declare you to be cursed. You know, this doesn't exist today. No such thing where a court... And there's no such thing as a chayim. Okay, they tell people, the chayim that they make today, it's not a real chayim. They just try to do different things. That's the problem. That's the criticism. Today we don't have a technique, we don't have authority today to do things in order to force people to do what they should be doing. But it's unheard of to hear today a court and say, you've done an avera, you're an avarian, you do terrible things, and therefore we hereby formally declare upon you a curse. You don't hear this. It's not done. So what's the next best thing? Okay, the court doesn't want to issue a nazifa, but you know what? I will voluntarily accept upon myself a curse. That's the next best thing. And by doing so, somehow it's therapeutic, at least in the spiritual worlds. By accepting upon yourself a curse, it somehow it works, it's therapeutic, it helps the neshama. But the danger is, you got to make sure someone will come along, a core will come along, and release you from the curse. So here in ancient times, people would actually, Erev Rosh Hashanah, they would accept upon themselves this curse, and they would sit down on the ground, the Oz, then Misrachik Me'aida, the person would distance himself from his friends, HaKadosh, Dalet Amos, Bechalitzas, can you imagine Erev Rosh Hashanah, the person says this Nusach, he then takes off his shoes, he steps away from the Bezdin, Umispalish Bafar, and he lies down on the ground, and he rolls in the dust, of like a mourner, he accepts upon himself the curse, and he sits kimenuda. After the person sits on the ground like a person that's been excommunicated in Ovel, then the Bezdin, this is part of the Nusach of the Bezdin, which we do not say today. The Bezdin would say, you are a brother. Three times. Because you accept upon yourself this harsh punishment, you are a brother. And then the person stands up. And then you continue the nusach that's said in the Ataras Nidarim. So, in other words,
I don't understand.
Today, let me say, today,
I'm saying, boy, the way that the process would work, you come and accept himself upon a curse as,
yes.
In what sense? If I don't do this, I'll be
cursed. No, I have done this. Being that it's very likely that throughout the course of the year I have done averos, terrible averos, which I'm deserving of punishment. So, and if only the Bezdin knew what I have done, they would have definitely go and issue a curse, then a cursed person, for what I have done. And Bezdin, for whatever reason, they're not going to issue the curse. So you know what? I will accept the curse upon myself. And the person accepts it upon, it's part of the Nusach. I accept this curse upon myself. I accept the Zifa and the Nidu. These are different expressions. And therefore, I take off my shoes, I sit down on the ground, and I roll in the dust.
What's the
purpose of doing this?
No, not the purpose. What is the content of a curse?
The content of the curse is...
I curse myself in general.
It's a spiritual type of curse. It means that no one is allowed to have anything to do with this person. No one is allowed, in a practical sense, no one is allowed to engage in business. No one is allowed to sit in his Dalet Amos. He's not allowed to get any kibudim in shul. And no one has anything to do with him. And that isolation, somehow for the neshama, is therapeutic. And that's what he is. That's what was part of the process of the Hataras Nedarim. When we read the Hataras Nedarim, we say all these funny words. If I'm chayiv, I'm chas v'shom, I'm chayiv a nidui, a nizuf, a shamta, an oror. So the bez, mutaloch, everything is forgiven. It used to be a much more elaborate process. It's not just stam. The bez says, you mutaloch, just in case you're chayiv. The person would formally go through the process of I formally accept upon myself the nidui, the shamta, the aura, and the klala. I accept it. And therefore, I'm a bad person. I have to be excommunicated. The Bezdin's not going to excommunicate me, so I'll do it myself. I hereby accept upon myself the spiritual curse. He takes off his shoes, he sits on the ground, he rolls in the ash. And the Bezdin then says to him, Achinu ata! Achinu ata! Achinu ata! Come, get up from the ground. We hereby remove, we release you from this curse. We release you from the from this curse. Very, very powerful. This is has a greater impact upon the person who does this. What?
Every Avera person what? Possibly done. Even a Torah is not. When is a Torah?
Whatever. I don't know, definitely not machmir. You don't have to do this, but this was a minhag. This was a custom that was done in previous generations by very holy people. It seems like even by the average person, they accepted upon themselves an aura shanto klala in order to accept upon themselves the din in this world. If a person accepts upon the din in this world, that will cleanse him from any punishment that would come upon him otherwise throughout the year from the din of Shal Shemayim. So the question is, why taco don't we do this today? What's the big deal? If it works, you know, we're all for skulas and mysticism and tricks and all these crazy things. So why don't we do it? Why? Because a person... Can you give me a... I'll show you in a system. Very interesting. Let me show you. Here. Yeah. The last pasuk here in Tachnun.
I don't have to curse myself.
Okay, look. Let me give you an example of this idea. Let me give you a very good example. In Tachnun, Mariv, let's find it. Oh, this is Svar. How come always in an Ashkenaz shul, only Svar Tzedern? Why is that? If you want Ashkenaz, you have to go to a Svar shul. So here we have over here in Tachnun. What does it say in Tachnun? The last pasuk in Mizmar in Tehillim Vav, Perek Vav, pasuk Yud Aleph, Yevoshu v'yibohalu me'oid kol oivoy, Yashuvu yevoshu raga. Here David is saying to Hashem, Shema Hashem t'chinasi, Hashem t'vosikach, may all of my enemies be embarrassed and ashamed very, very much. Yevoshu, they should be embarrassed. V'yibohalu, they should be terrorized. Me'od, David is not satisfied just for a little embarrassment, a little terror. He wants a lot. Me'od, who? Kol oivoy. And then he says, Yoshuvu Yevoshu. May they repent. May they come back, Roga, a moment, in one moment. So the Darshanim explain that if a person on his own does tshuva, the embarrassment and the suffering is just a rega, a moment. If you don't do tshuva, and you're stubborn, and you plead, I'm innocent, and you'll fight it out, then when you are ultimately declared guilty, then it's Yevoshu v'yibohalu me'od kol oivoy. As long as they're my enemies, and they're not willing to confess, they're not willing to say chotosi avisi poshati, then you're really guilty. Admit it. You don't want to admit it. You want to deny. You want to plead that I'm not guilty. Okay, we'll go to din. We'll go to court, and we'll go to court. You're going to lose. When you're going to lose, you're going to lose big time. Yevoshu v'yibohalu me'od kol oivoy. But if a person on his own will do tshuva, yashuvu, if you'll do tshuvu, then yevoshu raga. They will be embarrassed for a raga for a second. Compare the word yevoshu, be embarrassed, raga, to yevoshu me'od. What's the difference? Because in the beginning of the sentence, they're oivai. They refuse to confess their sins. At the end of the pasuk, it says yeshuvu. They return. They confess. Chotas yavisi poshati. Are you confessing? Then the shame will only be roga. And not only that, there's no behola. There's no behola. In the beginning of the pasuk, there is boishes and behola me'oid. Because you don't want to confess. End of the pasuk where yashuvu, you confess, there's no bahala, period. And even the boishes is just raga, small knot. Today in the American court system, they desperately want you to say chotasi.
Tell me that to a Marshall-like. There's a scandal now with this in the state assembly. This guy Lopez. And Sheldon Silver made a decision to pay the victims, right? Yeah. Now is Moida, he admitted.
Chotasi.
He made a mistake. And the politicians, because he's now down in Charlotte, North Carolina, he's in the thing. So our pastor says, Sheldon, he admitted he made a mistake. Let's move on.
This is.
You see
this over and over in American law. You see this in the American court system over and over. You follow the news. Anyone that says chotasi, even if you're not guilty, anyone that says chotasi, usually a lot more guilty than you can actually imagine, you get to the courts already, but anyone that says chotasi, you always see, the America's very forgiving.
Not a good example.
What? This idea, that's the same exact thing. You come Erev Rosh Hashanah. Nu, we're going to Erev Rosh Hashanah, nu, the Yom Hadin. I'll go through din. I'll come out okay. I'm not worried. What did I do already during the year? I didn't do naveris. You know what can I possibly do? I'm busy all day at work. I go to a shir. I daven. What can I possibly do? How much time already do I have time to do naveris? I'm a good guy. I don't need to go through this whole process. oh yeah, you're a good guy, you don't want to confess to any of your sins, but if you want to say, I'm guilty and I confess and I accept upon myself the curse, oh, you're going to accept, the more you accept upon yourself, the more you can diminish the Bahala, and the more you can transform the Yevoshu to Ma'od to Yevoshu Raga. That's the theme. That is a theme which is consistent in the Chazal, consistent in society, to confess your sins. And that's why a person, now the Mizman HaZeh, we do not do this. Why not? So it's very interesting what it says here, because today, you know why we don't do this? Because in order to be released, it really would be a great idea to do this. To accept upon yourself Nazifa, Shach, and Arah. But who says the Beis Din today is so good, is so strong, they can release you? In other words, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm a terrible sinner. I'm a kabel upon myself. Shamto, Arah, Klola, Nidui. Okay, very good. I'm a kabel. But you want to get out of it, right? You want to be released. Who's going to release you? Three little kids that are sitting next to you in shul, and they're going to say, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Who says these three little kids are on a madrega that Shemayim considers them to be significant, that they will release you from your shamtana? So they've nailed, that's the main reason why we have completely abolished this part of the practice from the hataras nedarim process, and we just say, if chas v'shalom I was chayev hashamta nidor, that I'm asking from you the Beis Din, from the kvoid malaschem, that you should release me. But don't you dare say, oh, I'm a kabbal upon myself, the shamta of Arvanid, in order to cure my soul in the oilamos. Because if you're a kabbal upon yourself, it's for real. Don't rely and think for one moment that these three people in front of you, even a bezin of 10 people, are on a spiritual level, that they have the power and the authority to really release you from the shamta or a klol. Your person can be stuck in this for a long time until somehow in Shemayim he wiggles out of it. Because that's one interesting thing which, again, we don't do because of this reason. Another interesting thing that we do not do is it used to be the custom for a person, Erev Rosh Hashanah, to be mekabel Dalid Misos Beis Din. Would you believe this? Let me read this I found to be fascinating. Let me read to you over here what they used to do in ancient times. Now, just as a hadamah to this, I'll just tell you, someone mentioned this, Rabbi Axelrod told me they used to do this, Malkus. They used to give Malkus Arboim, either Erev Yom Kippur or Erev Rosh Hashanah. You get down, you bend over, and they either take a belt or a gartel, something symbolic. It's not, of course, it's not a real Malkus. It's symbolic, and they would whip the person.
39.
V'hu rachum yichaper, three times. V'hu rachum yichaper, avon v'lo yashchis v'ribo. There are 13 words in the pasuk of Rachum, and they whip the right side, the left side of your shoulder, and then the center, and they do that. They repeat this process three times for 39 Malkus. It's a symbolic type Malkus along the same idea. And here, let me tell you something even much more elaborate of Dalid Misos Beis Din. Hayu Oisim Kein Dalid Misos Beis Din V'zel L'shan. This is what it says in the Shlach. Okay, the Shlach Kodesh. Maldish Naisoi. A person would first get dressed in sackcloth. And he would lie down on the ground. And they would shove him. Some would come along and kick him and shove the person on the ground back and forth. Shloisha oy arba bachum, three or four young men would push a person who's lying dressed in sackcloth. They would shove him back and forth three or four boys. The achacha mahalicha machris koch, and then the chacham, the rosh beis din, would say kocha yoselo ish. Asher hichis es boiroi. Kocha yeoselo ish, asher hiknit es boiroi. Would you believe that? Just like you have this expression, last week's parashah, he said, kocha yeoselo ish, asher lo yivne es beis ochiv. Chalutza, kuyukarish ma mishal beis chosinal. And just like in the Megillah, you say, kocha yeoselo ish, asher melech chofetz to kovoid. So they would say, so do we say over here, kocha yeoselo ish, that anger is creative. People would observe this, and they would cry. The kol shchein, and certainly the person that was being shoved around, the haniskov should soik be kolmar ve cham ram. I don't know what this word is. And the bitter cries. Ve'me'ashas. Then the shots. Then the shliach tzibur would say astalos. It's fascinating. Im ato chayiv herig. If you're chayiv decapitation. Herrick. Woe with Lufnei Malkum, he wrote sign Shetichoshev Zos Hagreira, Kilun Hereges Bibezdin Hagodel, Shebelishkas Hagozes. Hereg means decapitation. So this shoving back and forth, I don't know why exactly it's equivalent, but it's not, this should be equivalent to some type of herrick, I don't know. Death. Then they would choke him. Would you believe this? They would put their arms around his neck and apply pressure. They wouldn't necessarily kill him. But they would choke him slightly, cause him some, they throw stones. That's what it says. I'm doing from the Shla. I'm telling you what it says here in the Shla. They would take a belt, a gartel, a wrap around his neck, and they would pull it, tighten it, tighten the noose. A mock type of chenik, he himself would put his two arms or hands around his neck. They would throw on his head two or three small pebbles as a mock form of skila. The gam hamisyaser netel biyodei even gedolah maat kimaloi egrev maat yoseh makeh bo aliboy. And the person that was being, he would take a stone and take do alchet with a stone. You believe this? Take a stone alchet and you bang the stone against your heart. A mock form of skila. They would light a candle, Srefa. Now, the Srefa of the business was they would pour molten lead down his throat. But here they would do a mock type of Srefa. They would take a candle of Shaiva. They would drip hot wax on his body. They would open up his shirt, and let the hot wax drip on his body. And that was a form of Srefa. Until they see that he shakes. It says over here, I know this is what it says over in this book, I never heard this. And hear this? I never heard this before. Sfardim. That the some communities, they do this by the Sfardim, they do this. They do a mock form of, our Sardish friend here is not here to ask him, a mock form of Dalid Nisois Bezdin. Okay. So these are two very interesting. There used to be a custom. I remember this. I remember one of the Gedolei Yisrael died. I don't want to say his name because I'm not sure it was him. I'm pretty sure it was him. But when he died, there used to be a custom that the Chevra Kadisha would do to the Niftar the Dalid Misos Bezdin. To their body. They're no longer alive. So what difference does it make, right? But somehow doing this, somehow it's a tikkun to the guf. They do all these things. They do symbolic things. They do symbolic things. They do chenik around his neck. They do some type. They push the body around, I guess, which is a form of herik. And they drip wax. They do things which are symbolic of, they throw stones, skila. They do the dal and meat best to the guf of the nifter. I remember vaguely, one of the Gedolei Yisrael died, it was about 10 years ago, and he gave a tzava, an Ashkenaz, a Litvisha, and he gave a tzava. He came from a town in Europe, he was very, very old when he died, he must have been almost 100 years old, and he gave a tzava that they should do to him, like they did, what the Chevra Kadisha did, where he grew up in his hometown, they should do, which includes the Dalid Misos Bez, this part of the procedure. So the Chevra Kadisha, they asked the Shaila by the Gedolei Yisrael, and they said, no, don't do it. That no one today, this has not been done, we don't do this anymore. And even though he gave it, he was one of the earliest, even though he gave it Tzava, that there should be, that he wants this done to his guf, because that's what was done when he was, that's what they used to do in his hometown in Europe before the war, back 100 years ago. We don't do this today. And the Mela, the Minig is not to do these things. They were not on a Madrega to appreciate, to have the sensitivity of what these things are about, when they come just a Kuchot Lula, and the Mela, we don't do these. You don't do it to the guf. So kol shchein l'chayra, you don't do it to the living either. Right? You don't do this to the living. But I just want to bring out to you this interesting idea of an enhancement to the Hataras Nedarim. Not just because now when you read the words in Chas V'Shalom and the Schayev and Nidu Yisham Ta'orah, I ask you the Bezdin the Kvoid Malaschem, you three little children, please release me. It was more than that. I'm a Kabel than a Zifa. I'm going to sit like a Nidui. And the Bezdin had to actually say, Mutulach, we're releasing you from the Nidui, you're a Kabel upon yourself. Fascinating idea. They actually sat down in Shul and they did Dalam Misa's Bezdin in order that it should be a Kapara.
That comes under this overall umbrella of Taras
Nedarim. Well, we do
it. What it means, I made a vow and all that.
No, it's more. It's more. It's being released. We want to release a person from any curse. It's more because when you make matir neder, right? That's exactly the point I want to make. It's not just be matir neder. You make matir a person from nidui sham to or. There's a lot going on. You also make a moida. You announce that for the future, the following year, if I will make a vow, I don't want it to be chal. There's a question how much we take that into consideration, but we do take it into consideration at least when it comes to minhagim. A person is a minhag three times. There's a rule. If you may do a minhag three, you do something which is not halach. You just do something three times. You give tzedakah every day during a vayvarach David. You put a coin in the pushka every two. So maker hadin, it's like a neder. And now, if you want to stop giving stock every day during Pesukah de Zimra, you have to go to Mimat and Neder. When you make the Moida, Erev Roshana, Hini Moisa Moida, that I don't want to make Kabbal Nadarim, it works that you're not Mechuyiv, just because you've done something by accident or without thinking three times, a custom does not bring upon you an obligation to continue doing this forever, because indeed you did make that a Moida on Erev Roshana, that you don't want your actions to be considered a neder when you do it more than three times. Okay, so we'll stop here today with this.